Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Romans chapter 7, reading from verse 14. I'm still talking about quiet time. Are we there? For we know, Nompumelelo, by the way, what is your version? Ingi? No, I have amplified, but it doesn't say the things that yours say. Amplified, sorry, I'm just making a note so that I can search. What's the, what else is written in your Bible then? Please check. Amplified, it's got other. That's all that's written there. No, message doesn't say what I wanted to say. All right. I want that version because my amplified doesn't say the things that yours says. All right, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That part I liked what the amplified said. I'm a flesh, what something? Verse 14. I'm a creature of the flesh. Yeah? And then says what? I'm a creature of the flesh. Carnal. And says other things. And then having been sold unto slavery. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
These things are very heavy. They're very heavy. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Someone say inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus and celebrate him. So, the reason why this scripture is our foundation scripture for this subject that is entitled Quiet Time is because the Bible teaches us clearly that sin lives in our bodies. Sin is in our bodies. And because of the existence of sin, in fact, the Bible says, the sin that is living in your body is stronger than your mind. For example, if, you know, you, let me say a drug addict. When you are sober, you can realize that, man, this thing is destroying my life. Are you getting to me? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
But even though you know that this thing is destroying my life, Your mind will advise you that I must stop what I'm doing. But even though you know that it's hurting you, you want to stop, but somehow you find yourself doing it again. So you realize that the sin that is living in our bodies can be stronger than even our mind. And that's dangerous. Because even if you know something is hurting you, you find yourself, you know, doing the same thing that is continually hurting you. So the only thing that can correct us, especially that will allow us or give us the ability to do what God wants us to do, is when we become spiritual. And the only way to become spiritual is by what we call quiet time, where you dedicate time for God in your life. I don't care who you are. If you don't dedicate time to reading the Bible, if you don't dedicate time to praying, you will never be stronger than your flesh. The Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh will never allow you to do the good things that God wants you to do. The flesh can even block your own progress. Let's forget about God and the church. Let's say you want to be educated. Let's say you want to prosper. Let's say you want to marry and so on and so forth. If you don't put the flesh into check, it can destroy marriages. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy your future. You know that studying is good. But you do everything except studying. The flesh is destroying you because of the sin that lives in the flesh. So even if you take God out of the picture, you need to subject the flesh. Because if you don't, somehow, somewhere along the line in the journey of your life, it's going to hurt you. So what I'm teaching you is the thing that will give you the ability to overpower, subdue, suppress the sin that is in our flesh. Are you listening to me? All right, so I taught you many things. I taught you what quiet time is and so on and so forth. Amen. Today, for a short time, I want to teach you on avoiding shallowness. So I want to show you 7 symptoms of shallowness in Christians. Well, I think I'm going to actually give you 9. 9 symptoms of shallowness in Christians. Hallelujah. There are Christians who are deep. There are Christians who are in love with God. Then there are Christians who are shallow. Shallow. Ask your neighbor, are you the shallow one? No, demand an answer. Neighbor, are you the shallow one? What is the answer? No. All right, we will know after the service. You will mark yourself, okay? It's a test, it's an exam. 9 symptoms of shallowness, all right? Shallowness basically means that the flesh is more in control of your life than the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 1. A lack of the knowledge of scriptures. A lack of the knowledge of scriptures. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 24. Do you like my messages?
Amen.
I can preach many things, though. One day, a certain man of God was preaching. Omar, a certain man of God was preaching one day. And he read a scripture. Then he said, the thing that blesses me in the scripture is the comma. Comma. He said, I like the fact that the Bible doesn't put a full stop, but it puts a comma. Why do I like the fact that there is a comma? Because the comma means it is not over. Someone says it's not over. Someone says it's not over. Your life is not over. Your life is not over. I can preach. Can you already feel that you want to? But my message is, I'm not here to make you feel happy. I'm here to cause you to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mark chapter 12, verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err? Because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus was exposing some Christians here. In those days, we had Christians called the Pharisees. He said, you people don't know scriptures. And as a result of their lack of the knowledge of scriptures, they were making a lot of mistakes. Even in their following God, they were making mistakes. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So one of the signs or the symptoms of someone who is shallow or someone who has become a shallow Christian is when you notice that the person doesn't know scriptures. Let's not talk about other people. Let's talk about ourselves. When you want to check yourself and test yourself, am I deep as a Christian or am I a shallow Christian? It is when you have stopped knowing scriptures. When you don't know the word of God, it's the first symptom of shallowness. One day I went to preach somewhere and I said, please open to the book of Deuteronomy. And everyone said, it's like, wow, a Deuteronomy. I mean, they didn't even know that there was a Deuteronomy in the Bible. Somebody say it's a sign.
It's a sign.
As a Christian, you must know the Bible. You must know that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Ah, Pastor, we know. You'll be surprised. You must know that there is a Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. What's the last book of the Old Testament? Hello?
Malachi
of the Old Testament. Do you know what is the Gospels in the Bible? There are books of the Bible that are called the Gospel. Do you know them? It is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books are called the Gospels. Hey! Symptoms of shallowness. When you don't know the Bible. What is the original language of the Old Testament? Do you know? Hebrew. Hebrew. That's why you see many pastors when they preach, they say, when you read the Hebrew text, is telling you that, hey, I don't just read the English. I want to see the original writers. How did they interpret? What is the New Testament? What is the language of the New Testament? The original language? Greek. Ask your neighbor, did you know? All right? So, one of the first symptoms of shallowness is you don't know the Word of God. You just don't know it. So, Pastor, how do I know the Word of God? My brother, my sister, you sit down and you read. There's no shortcuts. You sit down and you what? You read. I don't feel you. Am I boring today? Number two, symptom of shallowness. The inability to quote scriptures. It's one thing not knowing it, but it's also another thing not being able to quote. Do you know what I mean by quoting scriptures? I mean, your Bible may not be around, but you must be able to say certain scriptures in the absence of your Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Are you there? Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. So God expects you and I to not only read the Bible, but to meditate on the Word of God. The only way you'll be able to quote scripture is if you have taken time to meditate, to chew on the scriptures. So if you just read and move on, read, move on, read and move on, nothing sticks. But when you read and you stop and you think about what you read, and you try in your imagination and your mind, you try to apply what you have read to your own life. And you think deeply about what you have read, you will not forget that scripture. When you are moving around and you meet other believers, you'll be quoting the scriptures that you've been reading with ease. Why? Because you've taken time to chew on them, to meditate on them. Sometimes I can meditate on one scripture for a whole month. I'm just thinking about one scripture. Over and over and over. Just that scripture is feeding my spirit and my soul. Because I'm chewing it. You know, like chewing gum. When you eat chewing gum, first there's a lot of flavor. And the more you chew, the flavor is going away, isn't it? I chew the scripture until I finish the flavor. Then I can start meditating on other scriptures. Now, if you have chewed it that much, you can't forget it. Listen to me.
Amen.
So when you cannot quote scriptures, it's a sign of shallowness. It's a sign that you are not meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God is just a by the way thing in your life. So you must take time, Barcelona, take time. Not only read, but meditate.
Amen.
Think about it. How can I apply this to my life? And then start doing the things. When you meet your friends, you know, Many people come to me and say, Pastor, one particular lady said to me, Pastor, I have a problem. And I said, Sister, what is your problem? And she said, Pastor, when you are preaching at church, like the things you are saying, I want to change my life. But my problem is my friends. I said to her, your problem is an easy problem to solve. Just when your friends come, just speak the word of God. I promise you, they will exit your life one by one. One by one, they will go away. Because when you talk, they are going to say, ah, utomil. And they will exit one by one. The problem with many of us is that when our friends come, we want to become like them instead of being ourselves. If the person doesn't like you for being yourself, then it shouldn't be your friend. Yeah. One day a friend of mine called me and he said, my friend, what do you think about the rapture? This is my friend talking. When do you think it's going to happen? And then he started, you know, giving me scriptures. Because he thinks that the rapture is going to happen after the Antichrist comes. And then he asked me afterwards, said, what do you think? I said, I think the rapture is going to happen before the Antichrist comes. And I started giving him scriptures. And he was giving me his scriptures. And I was giving him my scriptures. Afterwards, he said, man, I am enjoying this conversation. That was my friend. I enjoyed this conversation. I like what we are talking about. But you, your friend, say, hey, did you hear that song? I don't even know what's the latest songs these days. I only know Jerusalem. Is it still the latest? Oh. What's the latest? Don't act like you don't know. I know you know. Tell me. Or you forgot it. Ingi? I don't even know how that sounds. But your friends are updating you of the latest, worldliest song. Your friends are updating you of the latest 2000 rand shoe. Your friends are saying, did you see that girl? What's happening? All right. So tell your neighbor, say neighbor, you must learn to quote scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to start a new culture in this church. If you are talking to any person in this church, okay, don't end your conversation without quoting a scripture. Hello, are you here?
Amen.
Am I your pastor?
Amen.
I'm giving you homework. All right?
Amen.
You people, are you friends? Yeah. When you talk, before you finish any conversation, even if you are talking about soccer, you must say, me, I support Orlando Pirates because the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. I want our language to be like that.
Amen.
If you support Kaizer Chiefs, I don't know what you are going to say. I don't know. There's a book of Kings. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we do that?
Amen.
Yeah. Why? The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. It's only another Christian that can make you a sharper Christian. So let's start sharpening each other. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. When I meet my friends, you know, sometimes by the time I finish talking to them, I feel like I haven't been serving God enough. I must do something. Those are the friends that I have. So they sharpen me. They sharpen me. And I believe I also sharpen them. You can't walk this journey alone. You'll get tired. So you need other people to sharpen you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three. I must move a bit faster. Another symptom of shallowness, the inability to pray for at least 1 hour. Matthew 26, verse 40. The inability to pray for at least 1 hour. Matthew 26, verse 14. All right, you can read it when you get home. I'll just read it for you. The Bible says, "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me? How long? 1 hour." So Jesus expected Peter to be able to pray for at least 1 hour. Hello? It's in the Bible, Matthew 26, verse 40. He said, What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? So if you can't pray for a minimum of 1 hour, is a sign of shallowness. Pastor, but how do I pray for 1 hour? When I pray for 10 minutes, I'm already finished. I don't know what else to say. Just stay there for 1 hour. It's fine. I also used to have that problem. In fact, when I started walking with God, he used to wake me up. I would set my alarm, let's say, 4 a.m. And at 4:05, I'll feel a hand. And then I'll wake up. When I look, there's no one in the room. And I used to complain to God. I said, Lord, you will wake me up, but I don't know what to say to you. I want to pray, but I've run out of things to say. So what I used to do when I started is I'll pray till I run out of what to pray. Then I'll play music and I will just sing along with that person. At least I will try to spend my 1 hour with him. Amen. I remember my best person those days was a woman of God called Juanita Bainam. There's a song that says, "You are holy, oh so holy." I used to sit there and I will join her, we'll have a duet, and we'll sing together for the Lord. And that's where I started. The more I read the Bible, the more I have things to say. The more I read the Bible, the more I have things to pray about. There is no shortcut. There's no, you know, it's a process. You have to give yourself the time. Hallelujah. So, if you don't want to be shallow, push yourself to at least pray a minimum of 1 hour a day. On your own. On your own. Do you know why you're afraid to come and pray? When we call prayer in church, do you know why you're afraid to come and pray? Do you know? Hello? The reason is because you don't do it on your own. Because you don't do it on your own, when you come here, you can't do it even amongst other people. But if you learn to do it on your own at home, when you come to pray with us, it will show that when you're at home, you cook yourself in God. Nobody will have to say, pray, come on, pray, pray. No, it will be coming out of you because it's something you are used to. But because many people don't do it on their own, they will come here to church and when we say, let us pray, they become secret agents and spies. They are looking at us who are praying instead of praying themselves. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Number four. You don't look like you enjoy my. You want me to preach about commas. I can see you. Number four, the inability to lead and teach after being a Christian for 2 years. The inability to lead and teach after being a Christian for 2 years. Did you get that point? So that, should I say it one more time? The inability to lead and teach after being a Christian for 2 years. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Are we there? The Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall I read it again?
Amen.
"For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again." Someone say again.
Again.
"Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink." Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, say, "How long have you been a Christian?" No, demand an answer. I want to know. How long have you been a Christian? What are they saying? You want me to come and ask you one by one? If you've been in Christ for a minimum of 2 years, you should be able to be a leader in the house of God. You should be able to teach. If you've been in the house of the Lord, you know, it took me 1 year, 1 year, after receiving salvation, to start preaching and teaching. I remember my first day at church. The pastor said, "Open to the book." I can't even remember what book. I think he said Leviticus. Or he said Lamentations, a book like that. Hey, I tried. I couldn't find it. One lady saw that I was struggling. She took my Bible, and it was in the book that the pastor had said. I was so embarrassed. I didn't even know where that book was. Oh, but I locked myself. In a year, I had read Genesis to Revelation. And one day, my pastor said, "Kola." I still remember. It was August. It was a Women's Day service that we are having. And my pastor said that today the women are not going to do anything in the church. And he said, "Kola, I want you to moderate." And I had never held a mic before in my life. I was shaking like nobody's business. And I said, "Pastor, but I can't. I've never done it before." And he said, "Moderate." I just thought of some scriptures, and I stood and I started moderating. To my surprise, the scriptures were coming out of me like water. After service, people were coming to me and say, "Hey, that scripture that you... Wow, that scripture, the way I was connecting them." How did I do that? I took time and I read. From that day, I became a teacher. From that day, I became a preacher. After about a year in Christ. So, when you are a child of God, it is not good and it is not fair that you remain a child forever.
Amen.
At some point, other people must be able to depend on you. Other people must be taught by you.
Amen.
Other people must be trained by you.
Amen.
Other people must look up to you. At some point. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. It means that in your walk with God, there will come a time where he expects you to be a teacher.
Amen.
Where he expects you to be a leader.
Amen.
Where he expects you to be a shepherd.
Amen.
You can't be taught all your life. You must rise up. Become a teacher. Become a shepherd. The church that I grew up in, every service we have to fetch people. Every service we have to fetch people. And one day we had invited a man of God from Botswana. From where?
Botswana.
From far. And we had a convention. You know, when you invite someone, the church must be full, the church must be lively. And the service was supposed to start at 6:30. That day when I arrived in church at 6:30, there was no one. I said, where are the people? Then someone said, they are waiting to be fetched. Waiting to be what? So, because I didn't want to be embarrassed, we even invited someone. I wasn't even a pastor. I organized, we went, we fetched people. After we fetched them, I remember sitting down and I asked my God, I said, Lord, how long will it be like this? Because people don't want to grow. In the beginning, fine, we used to fetch you. It's okay. You didn't know God. But now you know God. Now you are a believer. Now you must rise up by yourself. And say, I'm going to church.
Amen.
Now you must make sure that at 11 you are here. At some point you must make sure that at 10 you are here. Because you must ask yourself that, who is the one preparing the church? For when for the time? For when for the time? It means that there is a time that God expects you to stand as a believer. You can't be a child forever in Christ. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Number 5. I'm going to rush the remaining points because I don't want to keep you here for long. Number 5 is, I'm talking about the symptoms of shallowness. It is a lack of interest in Christian books and messages. When you don't have an interest in Christian books and messages, is a sign that you've become shallow. Amen. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Verse 2. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Are we there? The Bible says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? Hello, are you there? Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel 9, verse 2. Quickly, I'm waiting for you. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. I read, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by what? By books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So Daniel was basically saying here, I used to read Jeremiah's books. He was a reader. He didn't only read the law, but he was also reading what other men and women of God were writing. The law was the word of God at that time. And Jeremiah was a man of God, another prophet at that time. And Daniel didn't feel that I'm also a prophet. Jeremiah is also a prophet, so there's no need, I don't need to hear what Jeremiah is saying. but he read the other men and women of God's books. Hallelujah. When you get home, you can read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. You will see how Peter was also reading what Paul was writing. Peter was also reading what Paul was writing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, you will see Paul instructs. He says, when you come to me, make sure that you come with my books. So Paul was also not just the reader of the Bible only, but they are reading what other men and women of God are saying. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you have no interest, do you understand the word interest? Like, you don't care. You just don't care. It doesn't even come to your mind. I don't even want to embarrass you to ask you, do you have a book? Besides, in fact, I don't even want to ask, do you have the Bible? I shouldn't even go there. But if I can ask you, besides the Bible, do you have a book? Christian literature, a book. Do you have? Ask yourself. Don't say anything. Just ask yourself. So, it's a sign of shallowness. I listen to me. Books and messages, both very important. We need, you know, is there anyone here who has been to the gym before? Lift up your hand if you've been to the gym. Only Mom Ruti. All right. The two brothers who lifted their hands, come quickly. Mom Ruti, come. I want to interview you. Grab another mic quickly. I'm about to close. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Amen. Amen. All right. So you people have been to the gym. Amen. I'm sure other people have been to the gym also, but they don't want to. All right. I've got a question. Why did you go to the gym? Well, all of you can answer. Paul, why did you go? What made you want to go to the gym? You needed to exercise. Aaron.
Actually, I wanted to gain body weight.
Oh, you're the first person who wants to gain. Mom Ruth, why did you go to the gym?
Wanted to lose weight.
Hey! Out of these people who have gone to the gym here, how many of you, you've gone to the gym, then stopped for a long time, then you go again and then stop? And then you go again and then stop. All of you. All right. Now, the third thing I want to ask. How many of you have achieved what you went to the gym for? Paul, did you achieve?
Amen.
You did. Aaron, did you achieve? Did you gain? Okay. Mamuruti, did you achieve?
No.
You didn't achieve. Now, to grow a muscle, you understand, you need to train that part of the body, you understand, and you need to train it over and over and over and over again. They say that it takes about 3 months before you start seeing a change in your body. So if you are doing, let's say you do push-ups, and you do push-ups every day, many people, on the first day they do push-ups, they say, hey, wow. But it is said that before you can start seeing any change, it will take 3 months. Are you listening to me? Now, when you start seeing changes, you have to keep training that muscle. Until that part of your body becomes the way you want it to become. Now, once it has reached what you have been trying to achieve, if you stop training that muscle, it will just go back to how it used to be. Sometimes it's amazing. You know, I've seen people who are bodybuilders with six packs. Then after some years, as they are getting older, they stop training. Before you know it, the guy looks like me. And it looks like they never ever went to no more six packs, no more. They are just a fellow person. I listen to me.
Amen.
So also spiritually. So also with your walk with God. If you practice your Christian walk like in this manner, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, you will never become the person you are supposed to become in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for my gymnast. Oh, don't be jealous. Put your hands together. Very well. Keep training your spiritual muscles. Keep training your spiritual muscles. Hallelujah. So it's very important for us to listen to messages and to read books. Amen. Can I give you another homework? Amen. One of the things that we must do as people of Healing Fire Ministries, when we meet, you must ask, what are you listening to? Or what are you reading? Okay? It's homework. And be it known unto you, when I meet you, I'm going to ask you, what are you busy listening to? Or what are you busy reading? Because we need to train our spiritual muscles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the first homework will be quoting scriptures. Even if you don't say John chapter 1 verse 12, you know, for as many have received them, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Even though if you may not know that is John chapter 1 verse 12, but at least you know that, not the Bible says, as many as received him. Yeah, it's good. It's a sign that you are meditating on the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me give you the last four in quick succession. Number six, the inability to worship God. The inability to worship God. This one is the same as the inability to pray. You know, to my surprise, I thought it was only my church members that when we are worshiping God, there are people who become agents. I mean, they'll even fold their arms like this during worship. I thought it was only my church, but I heard another pastor saying the same thing. And the reason why we behave like that is because we don't do it on our own at home. Do you understand? When you are used to worshiping God, you will love to worship God anytime. Amen. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 22 to verse 24, the Bible teaches us that those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. So only people who are spiritual are people who tend to worship God more. Amen. The people who are shallow, they struggle to worship God. Number seven, the inability to fellowship regularly. The inability to fellowship regularly. When you don't fellowship with God's people regularly, is a sign that you are becoming shallow or you have become shallow. You have to interact with other Christians as much as possible. Amen. That's why I'm always afraid of lockdowns. Every time we come back after a lockdown, I say, oh God, I wonder if I still have a church. Because when you are not fellowshipping with other believers, you know, who are you fellowshipping with? Are you listening to me? Soul winning will no longer be a priority. Loving God, growing spiritually will no longer be a priority. So we have to fellowship with one another. That's why I said, even though we are in lockdown, come, let us pray. We must meet so that we can sharpen each other. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says we mustn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So the Bible says we must meet as often as is possible. So someone who does not have the interest to meet with other brothers and sisters in Christ is a sign of shallowness. Amen. Yeah. What number are we on? Number 8. The lack of sacrifice. The lack of sacrifice is a sign of shallowness. The lack of sacrifice is a sign of shallowness. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Are you there? Ye blind guides. Sorry, this is not the Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, this is very important. If any man will come after me, in other words, if you intend to follow Jesus, hello, are you here?
Amen.
If you are following Jesus, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So in other words, whenever you become a child of God, Christianity comes with sacrifice. Being a child of God comes with sacrifice. When there is a lack of sacrifice in your life, is a sign that you have become shallow. And for those who were coming for the prayer, I explained that there are different types of sacrifice. There's something called the daily sacrifice. There are sacrifices that are done once a year. The high priest used to sacrifice once a year. And then there were sacrifices that needed to be done every single day in the Old Testament. So in today's time, we are not sacrificing animals. But in today's time, God expects us to have daily sacrificing, like giving him time every day. Daily sacrificing, like giving offerings, giving tithes. Sacrificing of avoiding wrong people in your life. You know, sin, right, is very delicious. Okay? It's nice. Oma is nice. To sin is nice. Mashati, what do you think? It's nice. That's why the Bible says Moses forsook the pleasures of sin. It's nice. When you are sinning, your body is enjoying, is loving it. So to stop a sinful life is hard, sacrifice. So when you stop sacrificing, you are jumping towards shallowness. You are swimming in shallow waters. Hallelujah. You must sacrifice as a child of God. You must sacrifice as a child of God. And the sacrificing never stops till the day we die. In your walk with God, you don't graduate. And now we call you Professor Christian. We keep growing, we keep learning till the day we die. We keep sacrificing and following God till the day we die. It never ends. When you stop sacrificing, you are becoming shallow. When you stop sacrificing, you are starting to flow, go towards the flesh. When you stop sacrificing, you are enjoying the things of the flesh. You must sacrifice continually in your walk with God. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
If you can be honest with yourself, the more you sacrifice, you realize the more I'm closer to God. The less I sacrifice, the further I go away from God. If you just be honest with yourself. If you tell yourself, I'll wake up every morning, or whatever the case is, and you do, and you pray every morning, and you read your Bible every day, you will start noticing that you start getting closer to God. It's simple. But when you stop doing that, you realize that you start shifting away from God. Amen. And then the last one for today. Symptoms of shallowness is being unreliable. Unreliable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Are we there? If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. Second Timothy, it's the last scripture we are reading today. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia." Amen. So, Apostle Paul used to have this guy who was one of his sheep, who used to walk with him when he would go preach somewhere. This gentleman was always moving with the Apostle Paul. Then one day, all of a sudden, the guy just decided to forsake and leave Apostle Paul. Amen. That is unreliability, when someone has become unreliable. So, when you cannot be relied on in the house of God, where the work of God is concerned, you have become shallow. Or you are shallow. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Some people, if you give them responsibility, it's like you're playing lotto. It's like you're playing dice. You don't know what's going to happen. You just have to, oh God, I pray that this person is going to do whatever. This person is going to fulfill whatever. For some people, let us even forget entrusting them or something. Just coming to church, it's like lotto. I knew you won't say amen. You want me to preach about commas? It's all right. When you play the lotto, you never know which numbers are going to come, isn't it? Some people have been playing lotto for years, but they've never hit jackpot. And there are some people like that. You never know. You just never know. Now all of a sudden they come. Oh, you are here. Oh, today we know that Jesus is alive. You have arrived. Hallelujah. So when you are unreliable where the things of God are concerned, it's a sign of shallowness. Because most of us are reliable in many, many other things. You are reliable in your workplace. You are reliable to your family. I mean, when it comes to family, you can jump to the moon. When it comes to your job, you don't know how to swim, but you will swim when it comes to your job. When it comes to your children, I mean. When it comes to things that you love, that you really enjoy, you will go all out. But when it comes to the house of God, the work of God, whom you claim to love, it's like lotto. We never know. So, when you are unreliable, it's a sign that you have become shallow or are becoming shallow, or you have been, you've never gone to the deep. You don't know how the deep looks like. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So these things of shallowness can only be avoided if you take seriously quiet time. That is where you meet God, in your quiet time. That's where you get to know God, in your quiet time. When you do quiet time daily, you will never be shallow. You will never. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Your amens are not blessing me. What was number one? You have already packed. Number 10, sign of shallowness. Packing before the message ends. Write it down, please. Number 10, sign of shallowness. Packing your Bibles. The message hasn't ended. You have packed your Bible and your notes. Write it. I'm waiting for you to write. Packing my Bible. Say my Bible before the service has ended. Sign of shallowness. All right, what was number one? Not knowing the scriptures. Number two. Hello, only one person wrote notes in this church. The inability to quote scriptures. Number three. Not being able to pray for at least 1 hour. Number four. Hey, neighbor, how many years have you been a Christian? Number five. Neighbor, do you have a book in your house? Christian book. Ask your neighbor. 1, 2, 3, go, ask. Oh, Jesus. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. No sacrifice. Number nine. Unreliable. Number 10. Packing Bible before service ends. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and let's give him praise. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be strong Christians. And I want you to dedicate yourself to being a strong believer. Amen. I close with this. As I said in the funeral today, some 2 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago, we went to visit Surprise. Those days he used to come to our church. And when we got to his home, he wasn't there. And we met his mother. We had met her for the first time. And we introduced ourselves that we are Surprise's pastors. And to cut the long story short, by the time we left there, she had received Jesus in her heart. Now, Mama Surprise used to be a sangoma. When we got there, she was wearing beads, you know, in the arms and the neck, and so on and so forth. And after we led her to Christ, she said, I have received Jesus. I'm not going back. She took out the beads in front of our eyes. Took them out, put them down, took them, put them down, took them, put them down. That was 2.5, 3 years ago. And when I heard that she has passed on to be with the Lord, my heart was broken because she's one of my best members. But I found peace in my heart and I said to myself, you see, her life, the dramatic change that we saw is why I'm a man of God today. When you see that dramatic change, Today I know that I know that I have a soul that I led to Christ that is in heaven. That is in heaven. I contributed to that. I contributed to that. And she is heaven in heaven today. Of course, it was God who orchestrated everything. We didn't even know her. We were just going to visit surprise. But God did all that thing. Now, when you shift from being a shallow Christian, you make yourself an agent of God. God can use your life to change other people's lives. People have told me and said, Pastor, had I not met you, I would have been a murderer. I would have killed people. I've seen God transform lives. And the reason why I'm preaching in this line is that I want you to jump into this journey so that we can be agents of change. How many people, when I finished preaching today, the program director, he said, hey, we learn every day. Please, give me those scriptures again. He said, I didn't know what you are teaching. There are many, many people who need you and I. But our shallowness is condemning them to a life of sin and condemning them to a destiny in hell. And the Lord is expecting you and me to not be shallow so that He can use us. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.